Thessalonians chapter 1, start reading in verse 4. Knowing, brethren beloved, your election of God, for our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power, and in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance, as ye know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. And ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost, so that ye were in samples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. You know, I know a lot of people are battling sickness this morning. A lot of people have been struggling with colds and with sinus trouble, and all this pollen that is going around has just got everybody struggling with those things. And so I know we come here today and a lot of us aren't feeling well. Some of us may have been not feeling well during the week. But it is good just to be in the house of the Lord. It is good to sing praises to His name. It is good to look into His Word and be encouraged and be stirred up again by His Word. And so I'm praying God just gives us strength. God, just for a little while, will just meet with us this morning and just refresh our souls and our minds. And even though we may be struggling with some kind of sickness or something this morning, that God just in this time will give you a double portion of the Spirit that you might be able to feast upon Him this morning. Today we want to look again at this first chapter in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. We've been looking here and we've been going through this chapter, looking at the church at Thessalonica, looking at this letter and what Paul began to write to them about. We have already looked specifically at the introduction that Paul gave in verse 1, his greeting to the church here, and what we saw and what was meant in that greeting, how that Paul said that Paul and Timothy and Silas were all thinking about the church, all had the church on their mind. They were all precious to them, and so they were writing this letter to them to encourage them to continue on. They had been hearing about their faith. They had been hearing about their spread of the gospel, and so they wanted to write much a letter like Brother Zach said that Paul wrote to the Philippians, to a letter of thankfulness of what God was doing through the Philippians. And same thing here in at Thessalonica, really very similar, how Paul was writing and he is giving thanks to God for them. Thanks to God for what God has done and is doing in them. And so we see that he begins this letter by just greeting them in the grace and the peace of the Lord Jesus Christ. He gives thanks to God for them, and he says that he makes mention of them in his prayers often. He is on his mind. They are on his mind. He is continually praying for them. He is continually giving thanks for what God is doing in them. Then he says he's constantly remembering them, remembering their faith, remembering their love, remembering this endurance of hope that they have in the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we looked at last time how Paul knew that these brothers and sisters, that they were the elect of God, that they were the chosen of God. And how did he know that they were elect? How can he say, knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God? How did Paul know that these brothers and sisters at Thessalonica had been chosen by God? Well, we looked at that and said, because of their conversion, right? Because of the grace of God that had been poured out upon them, the grace that had changed their lives, the grace that had called them out of darkness into the light, how the gospel came, and how when the gospel came and it was preached, it was believed and it was embraced, and it really had an impact on these Thessalonians, how that they changed from serving idols to serving the living God. How they left their idols behind and they took up this new service. They replaced the service of idols and they replaced it with a service to God and an obedience to Christ. And so we looked at all the different evidences of election in the life of a believer. How that he's filled with faith. How that he's filled with love. How he's filled with hope. How he's filled with obedience. How he's filled with assurance. How he's filled with the gospel and a desire to spread the gospel. And we see all those things here in chapter 1. But what I wanted us to look at maybe a little more closely at this morning is just thinking about Thessalonica as a church. What kind of church was Thessalonica? And as we're studying this and as we're looking at this, what we're asking the Spirit to do is reveal to us what kind of church should Fellowship Church be? What kind of church are we? What kind of church do we want to be? What is our vision as a church, and what do we want God to do in us and through us? We want to be like the New Testament church, don't we? We want to be as close to the New Testament church as we can be. You know, a lot of churches have just lost this desire. They have just thrown this aside and they said, well, it doesn't matter whether you need to be like a New Testament church anymore. You need to be what kind of church that will meet everybody's needs. You need to be a church that will be relevant. You need to be a church that will heed to the culture and how the culture has changed. And that's what we see in the rise of all of these churches today, and especially in America, the rise of these mega churches, is that they have risen just out of a desire to meet people's different felt needs and to entertain people and to meet the culture. But our desire here at Fellowship, and our desire should be, if we want to follow the Bible and what it says, is to be like a New Testament church. Even 2,000 years later, yes, our culture has changed. Yes, times are different. Yes, people are different now. Yes, we live in a totally different country than they lived in, and totally different circumstances that they lived in. But the Bible is still the same. And the Word of God is still the same. And what it encourages us to be is, it doesn't matter what the culture is. It doesn't matter what has changed. So our desire should be, and I believe that it is, and it always has been since I've been here, is to be a New Testament church. To be a New Testament, to pattern ourselves after these New Testament churches. And what Jesus wrote in the Gospels, what Jesus said in the Gospels, what John and Matthew and Mark and Luke wrote in the Gospels, and what the writer of the epistles wrote in the epistles, we're trying to follow that. We're trying to follow after what they wrote. So as we look at Thessalonica, we want to see if we are like this. Are we a church like Thessalonica was? Are we a church like Philippi was? You know, I thought it was so encouraging, the messages that Brother Zach brought, because it had to do with what was a church like at Philippi? What did Paul think of them, and what kind of impact did they have on him as a man and as a minister of the gospel? And so he was writing that letter of thanksgiving to the church there, how that they gave to his necessities, how they gave to his need, and how that they were filled with great joy, and how he encouraged them in unity one with another. And so I just thought about those things this week. I want Fellowship Church to be that kind of church, a church that is unified, a church that loves one another, a church that is giving to all different kinds of needs that are out there, a church that's filled with great joy in what God has done in our lives, and what God is doing in the lives of others. And so as I look at the church at Thessalonica, I see similar things in them that we see at the church at Philippi. A very loving church, a very united church, a very passionate group of people, a people who's passionate about the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. So I think after thinking about these things and trying to decide what kind of church was the church at Thessalonica, I think what we see is they were a gospel church. A gospel church. That's the kind of church we want to be, isn't it? A gospel church. A lot of churches today can't say of themselves that they are a gospel church. The gospel is nowhere in their church. If the gospel is there at all, it's somewhere hidden back in the back. But what we want to be at the very front, what we want to be at the very center and the very foundation of our church is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is the message of the gospel. It is the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what we want to be about. We want to be about its spreading. We want to be about its preaching. We want to be about it in our lives. We want to be about it being spread abroad into all the world. We want to see the gospel changing us and changing our lives. And I think when we see in this first chapter of all these things that Paul begins to say about the church at Thessalonica, I think that's the overwhelming thing that we see is that this church was founded, this church was established upon the preaching of the gospel. And this preaching of the gospel, it changed lives. And then this gospel not only came in the preaching, not only changed lives, but it just continued to change their lives. And they took this gospel and they lived it out and they spread it out into their community. I think that's just the synopsis of what happened. The gospel came. The gospel was received. The gospel was believed. The gospel is lived out in their lives. And they spread the gospel. And that's what a church should be. Right? That is a New Testament biblical church. A church that is founded upon the preaching of God's Word. That is centered on God's Word. And its foundation is the Word of God. And not just that, but the church continues in the preaching of the gospel. It continues in the believing and embracing of the gospel. It continues in all of us living out the gospel in our lives. And spreading this gospel, not only in our community, but everywhere that we go, right? And so let's break this down and look at this gospel church. What is a gospel church? How is the church at Thessalonica a gospel church? Number one, a gospel church is a church where the gospel is preached, right? You can't be a gospel church if the gospel is not preached there. Right? The center, the focus, the foundation of what we do here, it is the preaching of God's Word. We love the fellowship. We love the singing. We love the times we're able to gather together, even outside of our worship service. But while we come here, and the focal point of why we're all here is to sit around the Word of God, right? To listen to God's Word, to try to study God's Word, to try to understand God's Word, and try to ask ourselves, how can we apply this Word to our lives? How can we battle sin by using God's Word? That's why we're here. That's why we come. That's why we're a group met together, is we are sitting around the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we must be a church where the gospel is preached. We must be a church where the gospel is lifted up. The message of Christ is at the center of all that, of our teaching, of all of our preaching, of all of our encouragement. The gospel is at the center of it all. And we see that this is how the church was founded at Thessalonica. Remember what it said in verse 5? For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance. This is how the church was founded. This is how any biblical, God-centered church is founded. It is founded upon the preaching of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful men bring the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. They proclaim it to a group of people. They either embrace it or they reject it. And those that embrace it, they have been born again by the Holy Spirit. And they form together a gospel church. A church that is founded upon the preaching of this gospel. And it is to be done. Not the preaching of the gospel, it doesn't just come in words, but it has to come in the Holy Spirit, right? It has to come in the Holy Ghost and with much assurance. It has to come in power, or it won't make a difference in people's lives. So if we just go over to Africa, or if we just go over to India, or if we just go over to the Philippines, and all we do when we go over there is just talk. All we just do is talk and share ideas and try to meet the culture's needs. We won't have a gospel church there, right? We must go over there, and although we're going over there to help the poor, although we're going over there to try to meet needs, our main focus in anywhere that we go to spread the gospel is to preach the gospel, is to preach the good news, right? And so that is always to be the focus, and a church must be founded upon that. And what I love about Fellowship Church is this has always been a place where the gospel has been preached. And I believe the full counsel of God has been preached here. And we must be preaching the whole counsel of God, right? We must be preaching about God and His character. We must be preaching about Jesus Christ and who He is. We must be preaching about the Holy Spirit and His ministry in our lives. We must be preaching about the church and what the church is supposed to be. We must be preaching about individuals, what our responsibilities are as mothers, as fathers, as children, as co-workers. We must preach the whole counsel of God. But at the center of all of our preaching and teaching, we always are brought back to the gospel, right? The gospel message that we are sinners, that we cannot save ourselves outside of the Lord Jesus Christ, but that Christ has saved us by His blood, that through His righteousness we can be made new, and that we have a hope that even though we are sinners and even though we don't deserve the mercy and grace of God, yet through the Lord Jesus Christ and through the mercy and grace of God, we have been forgiven. We have been washed from all of our sins, and we are at peace with God. And we have a hope that one day we will see God face to face, and we will dwell with Him in eternity. This is the message that is at the center of everything. Sometimes we can wander off into various aspects of doctrine or of teaching. And sometimes I'm guilty, and we're all guilty of not having the center of all, even those things, be the gospel of Jesus Christ. So sometimes we can get on works. Sometimes we can get on God's character, and these things are good, but it all must be centered upon the gospel. And we must do a better job at that. And we must be a church where the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is continually preached, where this gospel that came in Thessalonica, that it would come here every Sunday, that it would come here every time that we're met together, whether it's Wednesday night or Sunday morning or Sunday afternoon, that the gospel comes like it did in Thessalonica, and that it comes in power and in the Holy Spirit and in much assurance. And where that is done, you have a gospel church. The gospel is preached. And so that is our desire for Fellowship Church, that we will always be a church where the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is preached, is taught, is encouraged, is instructed to us. Secondly, not only is a gospel church a church where the gospel is preached, but a church where the gospel is received, and a church where the gospel is believed, right? Because a church just isn't a church where people come together and the message is preached and that's all that happens, right? A gospel church is one where when that gospel is preached, it is received. It is believed, right? And that's what happened here at Thessalonica. It didn't make them a church that Paul and Silas and Timothy just came there and preached the gospel, and therefore that made them a church. What made them a church was that when the gospel was preached, the Holy Spirit changed lives, changed hearts, and this gospel was believed. And this gospel was received. And therefore, a called out assembly was begun in Thessalonica. And that's what's happened here in this place. God has sent the gospel into our lives. He has sent the Holy Spirit into our lives so that we could embrace this gospel, we could receive this gospel, and He called us out. And He called out an assembly here at Fellowship Church. What did it say about them? For our gospel came not only to you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. And ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word. Right? The Thessalonians received the word. They understood this message that was being preached because of the Holy Spirit's work in their life. You can't understand the message without the work of the Spirit. But because the Spirit was in them, They received this message. They understood it. They understood what it was saying about them. And they received it. And they believed it, right? Because in receiving it, the gospel, you are saying that I believe in the gospel. I believe that it is true. What it says about me, what it says about God is true. And I embrace it. I believe it. I receive it. That's the gospel church, where the gospel comes and is preached and people receive it and believe it. That's the foundation. That's the simple foundation of a church. The gospel comes and it's preached and it is received. And I love what it says here about Thessalonica. And may this be the case even with us. It says, they received the word in much affliction. Right? That shows you how genuine and true it was in the Thessalonians' lives. They didn't receive the word in comfort and luxury. They didn't receive and believe the gospel without fear of man, without fear of persecution. They were in much affliction. They were going to be persecuted by their own countrymen, as he would go on later to say in chapter 2. Chapter 2, verse 13. One of the reasons Paul was so thankful for the church at Thessalonica was because of this reason. That despite their circumstances, despite their surroundings, despite what persecution they were under, they had received the word and they had joy and they were living it out in their lives. He says, for this cause also thank we God without ceasing. This is just a matter of continual thankfulness for Paul. Because when ye received the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. That's powerful, isn't it? If a church is going to be founded and if a church is going to be a gospel church, they have to believe that the word which is preached isn't the word of men. It's not my word. It's not Brady's word. It's not anybody else's word. It's the word of God. That's what's sad to me about so many of these modern day churches. They're there to hear the men. They're there to hear their message. But they care nothing and they have no concern for the word of God and what it says. Everything that they're doing is going against what this word is saying. And we don't want to be that kind of church. We want to be a church like this, that what we believe about this word is that it is the word of God and it has authority over our lives, that we are to submit to what this word says. Even if it is hard, we must submit to it. When ye heard it, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God. And look what he says. For ye, brethren, became followers of the churches of God, which in Judea are in Christ Jesus. For ye also have suffered like things of your own countrymen, even as they have of the Jews. So they were suffering for this. But that didn't matter to them, right? It doesn't matter to a believer if you suffer because of what you believe. Because what you believe is so great. What you believe is so powerful that it overcomes all circumstances, right? It overcomes all persecution. It overcomes all hate from those around you. A gospel church is a church where the gospel is received and believed. Received and believed. Thirdly, not only where the gospel is preached, not only where the gospel is received and believed, but a gospel church is a church where the gospel is exemplified. Right? It goes from hearing the gospel being preached to believing the gospel and what it says and receiving it. And then it goes further and you start to exemplify. You start to be an example, right? You start to be a testimony of the gospel in your life. And that's what we see happen greatly in the lives of the Thessalonians, is that they begin to be examples of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. They begin to be followers. Imitators, right? He says in verse 6, and ye became followers of us and of the Lord. Right? The word followers there in the Greek is the word imitator. The word imitator. You became imitators of us. Why were they imitators of Paul and Silas and Timothy? Because they were imitators of Christ, right? That's the only reason that they imitated them. We don't imitate other brothers and sisters in Christ if they're not walking in Christ and as Christ would walk. But as we do walk in Christ, we're to follow one another. Paul said in another letter, "Follow me as I follow Christ." And so that's what they were doing here. They became followers, they became imitators of Paul and Silas and Timothy. But he says, and of the Lord, right? They became followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, of whom Paul and Silas and Timothy were followers. They were imitating the Lord Jesus Christ. They were trying to be like Him. And so the Thessalonians, as they see what it's like to be a Christian through Paul and Silas and Timothy, they began to pattern their lives after the way that they were living their lives. And that's what happens in a gospel church. As God begins to touch the younger ones, as He's been doing here at Fellowship, what are they looking to do? They are looking to you and they are looking to me, to how to pattern their lives after the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we are to teach them what it means to live a gospel-centered life. And so we have a great responsibility as a church. And that's part of what a gospel church is. It is exemplifying the gospel out in our lives. We exemplify it as individuals. We exemplify as parents. We exemplify as fathers and mothers. We exemplify as how we submit to authority, how we submit to our parents. So even the younger ones exemplify the gospel of Christ and how they submit to their parents. And us as co-workers on the job, we are an example of the gospel of Christ. Do we submit to authority? Do we have the right attitude toward our bosses? Do we have the right attitude toward our co-workers? That's hard, isn't it? But we see that that's what began to happen. The reason that the Thessalonians' testimony was so powerful was because the gospel changed how they lived their daily lives. And so it began, not just began what they began to say, but it was so much more what they began to do, right? And people began to be able to see what they did and how it changed their lives. So we can say what we can believe. We can tell others what we believe. But what people are really looking at, especially outside of the church, the non-church, what they're looking at is how we live our lives. What kind of attitude that we have. Do we really love our spouses? Do we really love our children? Do they really see us serving the church? And so a gospel church is a place where the gospel is exemplified. Ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost. So in this exemplifying that they were to do, a lot of it had to do with this joy in the Holy Ghost that they had. This was one of the main things that stood out to those around them, was the joy that they had, the happiness that they had, how glad that they were of what had been done in their lives. This peace that came from the joy. Because they were filled with joy, they were filled with peace. And so those around them begin to look at them and think, how strange and how odd are these people who are being persecuted by the Jews, their own countrymen, who are being hated by the Greeks around them, who are being called vicious names, who are being threatened with their lives and with their property. They're happy. They're happy about it. They're joyful. They're at peace. They're praising God. They're meeting together. They're singing, filled with joy. Joy in the Holy Ghost. If you have the right kind of joy, it doesn't matter your circumstances. Right? You can be in pain. You can be in health. You can have lots of money. You can be poor. You can have lots of friends and family, or you can be alone. But none of those things matter. If you have the Holy Spirit of God living inside of you, you have joy. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. If the gospel has come and you have been able to believe and receive it, then you can have joy despite circumstances. And so I think that's what we see. A way that you and I can be an example of the gospel of Jesus Christ is that we can exhibit this joy and peace in our lives despite all of our circumstances around us. That's going to have an impact on people. So a church where the gospel is exemplified. It says in verse 7, so that ye were in samples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. So not only can we have an impact on the lost around us, but we also can have an impact on all those that believe. Right? For he says, the church at Thessalonica, they impacted the church at Philippi. And they impacted the church down in Athens. And they impacted the church down at Corinth. And they impacted even all the way over to the churches in Ephesus and Galatia and all those other churches on that side. That's how impactful this joy was, this embracing and believing and spreading of the gospel was, that they were examples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. And then he goes on to say in verse 8, that their faith to Godward is spread abroad so that we need not to speak of anything. This is the kind of church that we want to be. A church that not only has an impact on the lost around us, but it has an impact on all the churches around us too. We want Fellowship Church to be an example to all the churches in our community. I would love the word to get out about Fellowship Church over to Turning Point, and over to Bethany, and over to some other churches. And maybe they would inquire as to what is going on here. And maybe it would call us to examine themselves. Not because of us, but because of what God is doing in us. And then the churches that have like faith like us. Churches, Shoal Creek. Churches up in the north. Flat Shoals. Churches down in the south, like Fairhaven and Eureka. Churches over in Alabama and Mississippi. We want to be an encouragement to them. We want to be an example to them. We want to have an impact on them that encourages them as a church. And I think this was the kind of impact that Thessalonica was having. They were a church that was impacting other churches. To me, that is the gospel church. We see so many of our churches that really the only impact that they have is on themselves. They have no impact outside of themselves. They have no influence. They've set no example to any of the other churches around them. And I think that's sad. I don't think that that's New Testament. I don't think that that's a gospel church. A gospel church is one where the gospel is exemplified and we are an example to others. Fourthly, go along with that, is a gospel church is a church where the gospel is spread abroad. We don't just keep the gospel here in our four walls, but we take this gospel with us. We spread this gospel to those around us in Macedonia and Achaia, right? Macedonia is where they were. Achaia was to the south in those regions. But then he says that in verse 8, right? For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia, which is where they were, and Achaia, which was down to the south in all Greece, but also in every place your faith to Godward is spread abroad so that we need not to speak anything. This just speaks to the power of God's grace. It speaks to the power of the gospel to change lives. How that God took a group of idol worshipers and he changed them into a church that their faith in God began to be spread everywhere. Everywhere that Paul and Silas and Timothy went, people had been hearing about the church at Thessalonica and what God was doing in them. Well, how did that happen? How do you think that this happened where Paul says that their faith to Godward was spread abroad so that we need not to speak anything? He told us in the first part of verse 8, didn't he? For from you sounded out the word of the Lord. Brothers and sisters, that's to spread the gospel. It's you speaking about what God has done in your life. The Thessalonians were so excited and so happy about what God had done, they began to go and tell everybody. They told their family, they told their friends, they told those in their community where they lived. As they went to the market, they told the people at the market. When they went to where the port was, they told the people at the port. And so the people that were on the ships got word of what God had done, and they took it back with them over to the other side of the country. So this isn't a difficult thing. All you have to do, all the Thessalonians did, was tell other people what God had done in their lives. And this is what we do. This is what we try to do so poorly and ineffectively sometimes. But we try to live in such a way that people ask us a reason for the hope that we have in us. And when they ask us for the reason for the hope that we have in us, we try to give them an answer. And we should be pointing them to God. We should be pointing them to Christ and His grace. So we all can do that. Every single member of Fellowship Church can sound out the word of the Lord. No matter how young or how old you are, you can talk about God's goodness. You can share God's goodness to your friends, to your family, to your co-workers, to your communities. The more Fellowship Church will do that, the greater impact we will have. I believe the more that we will grow, the more others will come, the greater that we do this. And so I'm asking God, help me to be more like the church at Thessalonica. Give me more boldness. Help my eyes be open to more opportunities, and help me be faithful as I see those opportunities to take advantage of them. So this is the kind of church that we want to be like Thessalonica, where the gospel is spread abroad, where it's proclaimed. And Fellowship Church is that kind of church, but we can be greater. We do this by sharing the word of God in our lives. We do it by being people of faith. Because one way the gospel was spread by the Thessalonians was that they told people about what they believed. But really the second and maybe even the more impactful way was the way that they lived their lives. That to me is what I think was happening. People were getting wind of how that they were living their lives, and then other people were talking about Thessalonica. And you know, because we're old Baptists, we're in this circle, you know how that word gets spread amongst us grace believers. And so once word began to spread about Thessalonica, it went from church to church to church and everywhere. That can be a good thing and it can be a bad thing, right? We want it to be a good thing. We want others to hear what the Word of God is doing at Fellowship Church, and we want people to talk about it. And we want people to spread the goodness of God in our lives. So that also in every place, your faith to Godward, right? This faith that they were living out in their lives is what was being spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you. Because of what people were saying. Because of the testimony that was being spread. Paul and Silas and Timothy, when they went to other churches, they didn't have to tell them about Thessalonica. They already knew about Thessalonica. This is a gospel church where the gospel is spread abroad. And then fifth, a gospel church is a church where the gospel changes lives. Because I think that's what we see in verse 9. And what we've been seeing throughout this whole thing, and what we see throughout this whole letter. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. That may be the most simplest, but most profound statement, right? Because that is in a nutshell. This what he says about how they turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God and to wait for His Son from heaven. That is the synopsis of the Christian life, right? That is in a nutshell, what our lives are about as we live here in this world. We are turned to God from our idols. Turn from our idols to serve the living God. Right? We were serving idols, now we're serving God. And as we're serving God, we are waiting for Jesus to come back. Right? That's what our life is. That's what our church is about. We are a group of people who have been turned from serving idols to serve the living God, and we're trying to do that to the best of our ability, through His grace. Serving God, serving the Lord Jesus Christ, serving one another. And we are waiting for Jesus to come back. And we are saying, Lord Jesus, come quickly. We are anticipating His return. And that was another reason that the church at Thessalonica had such an impact, is because this belief in the return of Christ was so real to them, was so powerful to them, that people could see this in their lives. And it's all throughout this letter and all throughout the second letter of Thessalonians. He talks a lot about the return of Christ because he knew how precious this was to them. But if we're going to be a gospel church, we need to see the gospel changing our lives, right? Turning us from sin and turning us to God. We need to see repentance. We need to see faith, and we need to see repentance, and we need to see obedience being worked out in the lives of the believers. And so as we're striving to be a gospel church, let us strive to encourage one another, right? To continually be turning from our idols. Because I think repentance is not something that just happened once, but repentance is something that happens over and over again. I have needed repentance many times this week. Because the flesh is weak. The flesh is weak. And even after we're regenerated, and even after we're given faith, and even though we have this hope and belief, yet sin is still strong. And we still struggle, daily struggle. And so we must encourage one another to continually be dying to sin and pursuing righteousness and holiness. And to be like the Thessalonians, who had turned from their idols and they were serving the living and true God, and they were waiting. They were waiting and anticipating Jesus Christ's return. And so it is a gospel that changes lives. You can just see that in verse 3. When Paul is remembering about what had been done, he says, remembering without ceasing your work of faith, your labor of love, and your patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of God and our Father. This sums up the life of a believer, right? And how the gospel changes us. We have faith that begins to work in us. We have a love that begins to labor. And we have a hope that endures despite all circumstances. That's how the gospel changes lives. And that's what we want to see here at Fellowship Church. We want to see the gospel changing lives. I want to see it changing my life. I've got much that needs to be worked on. And I want to see it changing your life, no matter how young or how old you are. And I want to see it changing people's lives here in our community. All by God's grace. And so, to go along with this last point, is a gospel church, if we're going to be a gospel church, the gospel is going to impact our future longing. We all live for the future, right? We all want to live in the present, but we're always living in the future, right? What is tomorrow going to bring? What kind of plan do I have that's going to see me out through the next year or the next 5 years or the next 10 years? But the main thing that should be in our future is what was the main thing for the Thessalonians, that we're longing for Jesus to return, right? Yes, we want to see our children grow up. Yes, we want to retire from work one day soon. Yes, we want to lose weight. Yes, we want to be healthier. Yes, we want to be able to have more money to do more things with. Yes, we want to be able to see our grandchildren one day, but what we long for the most is to see Jesus face to face and for Him to return from heaven, for Him to return from heaven and for this world to be destroyed and for the new heavens and the new earth to come down. That's what we should be longing for. And brothers and sisters, sometimes it is a struggle because we deal with the flesh that is worried about here and now. It is a struggle for us sometimes to be longing for heaven. So I say sometimes because most of the time for me it's not. But for some, maybe more than others, but we should have this longing that the Thessalonians had, that they were always talking about how Jesus was returning soon. Jesus is coming back. We need to be living in such a way that because Jesus is returning. In Fellowship Church, we need to be living and being an example that we are a living testimony that we believe Jesus Christ is returning. And to wait for His Son from heaven. And I love what he says about Jesus as we think about this today in our communion service. Who are we waiting for? Who are we longing for? To wait for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. I don't know about you, but I want to see Jesus. And I want Jesus to return. Because He has delivered me from the curse. He has saved me from the curse. But the reason that I want to see Jesus is He's going to deliver us. Ultimately, He's delivering us from this sinful flesh. Right? So He speaks about the resurrection because that's what we're longing for. We are longing for new bodies. We are longing for a body without sin. We are longing for an eternity that no more is of this world. What a day that will be. And the gospel church is always pointing people to the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. Saying, don't focus. Don't have all your focus on the here and now. But be looking for and waiting for and anticipating the return of the King. To wait for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead. Jesus Christ was an example that will be for all believers, right? Who will be raised from the dead. He was the first. Even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. That's what makes all this possible. That's how we can be a gospel church. That's the foundation of it, is because of what Christ has done. Because He rose from the dead. Because He has delivered us from this present evil world. And because He is going to deliver us from the wrath to come. We can be a church. We can be all these things that we desire to be by God's grace. May God bless you and keep you and apply these things to your life is my prayer.